Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. Does that feel connected with our friends today? I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. And I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is Christ's body. The church is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. But I think it sounds to me like the overall theme here is this word transition. And it's so interesting to me. I think it's tempting for us, if we're older or younger, we may think, well, that's not where we are in our lives right now. That sort of in-between time, that transition phase, that, you know, coming out of maybe high school into college, or coming out of college into the workforce, or coming out of high school into the workforce, that maybe we're sort of over all of that. We've kind of moved on. And I think it can be overwhelmingly exciting for us who maybe see ourselves on the other side of that to look at these young people and the vast opportunities. And yet for them, I think that overwhelming excitement might at times just feel a little bit maybe overwhelming. So I want us to kind of sit with that a little bit this morning with just, I think, a little bit of introspection and reflection. I think we can really relate to what it means to try to walk faithfully and hopefully through our days that for all of us may be filled with uncertainty and searching. You know, we come into this sanctuary every single Sunday, and I hope and pray that the main reason you come in here is because you want to say thank you, and you want to praise God, and you want to express your gratitude to our Heavenly Father for all that God has done to save and redeem and lead us through our lives. Yet, correct me if I'm wrong, I think most of us also come in here with our arms and our hands wide open. We're really hopeful that we receive something, right? We hope to receive yet another word of direction in a world that really is so vast with opportunities and options. We want to receive another message of hope and encouragement in a world that all too quickly can become this dark and despairing place. And we come because we are hopeful to receive yet another vision for walking faithfully in a world that can be complicated and overbearing at times. So it may be tempting to distance ourselves from where these young women are in such a visceral way right now, experiencing this transition. But just like Pastor Paul mentioned that this is Christ the King Sunday, we are actually in the midst of a major transition, whether we are aware of it or not. Christ the King Sunday actually marks the conclusion of what is the standard Christian liturgical year. It's kind of like a segue Sunday. You're in transition. You're moving from the close of one year into the beginning of the next. Advent is the beginning of the Christian year. It's the time when we are hopeful and expectant, and that's exciting. So basically, I'm telling you that next Sunday when you come in here, you can say Happy New Year to each other, because that's just how we roll in the church. But we move into this season expectantly. Some of us have already moved into this season. As you are well aware, you have friends and neighbors who thought it was Christmas the day after Halloween. But first, many of us, we may be kind of dragging our feet a little bit and feeling that pull, sort of that in-betweenness. We're not quite there yet. And I would say that's all right, that's one of those other ways that we can really relate to that season of not knowing exactly how to feel or where to go, what to do, maybe even who God is calling us to be. I'm grateful that these young people have shared with us their stories, because we need to hear and share one another's faith stories, because we are all called to be faithful in every season of our life. But I think especially in these transition seasons of life, that's when you can claim, I am a child of God, and I know that God will see me through. Well, I hope you felt it as well in reading and hearing the scripture this morning. This scripture is from the Apostle Paul's letter to this very newly formed church, of people who were only just learning what it meant to follow Jesus. It's hard for us to remember that when we look at scripture, but think about it. They didn't really have a Bible to open up, but they received letters from someone like the Apostle Paul, who is helping them understand who it is that God is calling them to be in this world. One of the things that's really neat about this is that if you look in the very first verse of the letter to the Ephesians, there's this little asterisk in there, and if you look down at the footnote, it lets you know that the phrase "to the church at Ephesus" was added sometime later on. The earliest manuscripts they found of this letter didn't include that. Now, that doesn't need to trouble us. Rather, that's something that's quite encouraging. Because of the very generalized message that St. Paul conveys in this scripture, there's a strong chance that this letter was not, in fact, written to one specific congregation. Rather, this is a letter that was meant for all congregations. Do you catch that difference? This is a message meant for all of us. So when Paul says words like this, "Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you." Paul says that he prays for this church, this community of faith filled with people he cannot see or interact with on a daily basis, something all of our college students have named. Yet he still prays for this church, constantly asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give them spiritual wisdom and insight so that they might grow in their knowledge of God. Don't those words encourage you? Paul goes on to say that he prays that their hearts might be flooded with light so that they can understand the confident hope Christ has given to those he called, that they might understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in God. It's almost over the top, isn't it? One commentator says that he thinks there might be more adjectives in these little short verses than there are nouns, but Paul is just so consumed and overwhelmed by the love and the grace of God, and he is just so anxious and excited to make sure that everyone, that all people, know about this on a daily basis. These words are so important to us today, because even though our young people cannot be with us every single Sunday or on special events and occasions like maybe they used to, yet, you know, like Paul, or like the people that Paul was writing to, my question is, can we not still be the church to them? Can we not still be the church to all young people, to all of God's people? A church who will offer them our prayers and grace as we walk through our days together. I'm hoping that God will continue to work within us to help us remember that even though we might not see these young people every single day, we can certainly relate to where they are, and we can learn from them just as they so faithfully did this morning, and remind one another that we have something to offer this world that we cannot find anywhere else. We offer the hope to which we are called. As a people of God, we are called to such extravagant hope and love. It's the same that Paul speaks about in this letter to the church. And as such, we can and should be for the world a people transformed by that love. On this Christ the King Sunday, we also think about the kind of king that Jesus was. So I want to ask you, in our closing moments, what comes to mind when you think of Jesus as king? I see children gathered around him and given great honor in a world that would cast them aside. I see people who are hungry for food and for love and acceptance, who receive all of those in baskets overflowing with fish and loaves of bread, or in these encounters with God's Son, when the rest of the world would ignore and abuse and dismiss them. I see a king who is compared to a shepherd who would go at any length to reach a sheep who was wandering and lost, frightened and lonely. I see a king whose eternal kingdom is one that is populated by people who have fed the hungry, welcomed the stranger, clothed the naked, cared for the sick, visited those in prison. My goodness, this is our king, one who takes all of these traditional expectations of what a king should be and turns them upside down. And according to the last few verses of our scripture today, we know that we as the church are this king's active agents in this world. Now, I don't know about you, but like Paul, I want to do everything I can to be a part of this kingdom. I want to learn about my king. I want to live the way he did. I want to share this beautiful life of sacrifice and service. And like these young women who have shared with us today, even and especially in my moments of transition and in between when I am completely uncertain of where I am, I want to stand firm in my identity as a child of God. Church, we are Christ's hands and feet on this earth. And I want to say to this congregation that I believe you are doing such an incredible job of being the church. That's so much of what this scripture is about today. It's telling us that through the power of Jesus, we, the church, can offer a transformational love and grace to this world. You have heard these young women witness to that love and grace this morning. So we're going to do something very tangible this morning. Even though you're already really good at this, I want us to do something super tangible. So you've got in your bulletins a card. I want you to pull it out right now and wave it around so I can see it. I know we're a little tight on time. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to take just a few minutes. And what you see on here is a card that says, your Cokesbury Church family is praying for you. And there's a few verses from Ephesians. And on the back side, it's blank. I want to ask you to write a prayer on the back of this card. Sandra's going to play some kind of reflective music for a moment before we lead into our closing hymn. And I want you to think about the words that you have heard from these incredible young people. I want you to think about the cover of your bulletin, that God is greater than the highs and the lows, that God is faithful to lead us through our life's transitions. These are going to be sent out to the college students who are listed in the bulletin. They're also going to be sent out to our UWF and Pensacola State Wesley Foundation students. I want to encourage you. You don't have to use a lot of words. It can simply be God loves you. God is there for you. We love you. Whatever your prayer might be, take a moment, write down a prayer, and then we're going to let you come down to the altar rail and leave the prayer. If you're not able to come down here, you feel free to leave your prayer with one of the ushers or on the back table when you leave this morning. But this is an incredible reminder to us this day that we are connected to these young people, and we can pray for them. We can send them care packages. We can offer them our love and support, and we can say thank you for the incredible words that they have shared with us. Friends, may our hearts be flooded with light so that we can understand the confident hope God has given to those who believe. Amen?